Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Now it's time to get those answers for life, mortgages, and the financial industry with Matt Van Fossen.
I'm not fucking leaving.
J-Rod.
Okay, insert rod support A into slot B.
And John Kuskin.
Well, you don't know about jail? Well, you would love jail.
Here it is, Rates and Rants.
Welcome to another episode of Rates and Rants. Today we have our origin story starts. So we're going to be going through all of the origin stories of our hosts in these segments of Rates and Rants. And today's origin story is on John Kuskin.
Thank you.
Oh.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So how this works is that the three other hosts are going to be interviewing
Okay, good.
You. So you're going to get...
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
Of course. I was born ready.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Are we only talking about his mortgage industry or are we talking about his real life too?
Yeah, anything. I think it should be a mixture of the mortgage origin story and how that affected your life.
Okay.
You know, or different aspects of your life.
I'll put it all together.
So where do we start? I guess we start, how did you first hear about the mortgage business? Like, what was your first interaction with it?
When I graduated, I went back to Cleveland for 2 months.
Graduated college.
Graduated college, Seton Hall, May of 02. Went back to like August, moved back here permanently. I had a job interview at the Meadowlands Racetrack accounting department, Goldman Sachs, but that was only a part-time job in their research department in the city. And then... mortgage company in Pine Brook, New Jersey.
And when are we talking about the early 20s?
I was 22.
So, and this is your first job out of college?
Out of college, yeah.
So you went right into the mortgage industry out of college?
Out of college.
And you interviewed at a mortgage company?
Yeah.
Who'd you interview with? What level position?
It was really more like for a warehouse and post-closing type clerk position.
Okay. So low level.
Very low level. Entry. I had no idea about mortgages at all. Because I did, in college, I did a lot of finance, stocks, classes.
Right. How was the pay?
It was like 32.
What year was that?
02.
That was 02.
Yeah.
So 2002.
Yeah.
32 grand a year.
Yeah.
Coming in. Entry level, post-closing. Mm-hmm. And so how do you, you're now in secondary markets.
Yes.
You're a big deal in secondary markets.
Kind of a big deal around here.
Yeah.
Not just in secondary, but in the whole company.
Right.
That's what he thinks.
Well, yeah, I like to think so.
In 02, I was a sophomore in high school, not even thinking about life, real life. Life was back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was still in middle school.
I was a junior in high school.
Okay. All right. Wait, I think we've made our points. Not 40 yet.
Not yet.
So let's get deeper into this.
Yes.
So you interview.
Yep.
Okay. You're talking about mortgages.
They offered me a job on the spot because I was kind of overqualified because I had a college degree.
They were rare back then.
Yeah.
Back then, nobody had a college degree.
Back then in 02.
Yeah.
Back then in 02.
It seemed like it wasn't that long ago.
The mortgage industry, college degree.
Yeah.
It's like the military. If you have a college degree, you get like officer level right from day one. So you take the job.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first day like? What was the John's first day in the mortgage industry?
I can't really remember what the first day was like. I remember like this is kind of easy, the stuff. It was, you know, it's basic stuff. I'm like, oh, this is easy. But it was just then getting to know people.
Like what was post closing like back then? Was it paper pushing?
It was all
because
paper.
Now it's all digital.
All paper.
So
all
were you like actually shipping paper files to secondary market investors?
Yeah. Yep.
They were buying loans on paper.
Yeah,
think
making
of how
copies.
Foreign that
but
sounds.
You'd have to make a copy of it, put in a file because we needed a copy, and then
right, you had your
FedEx
your storage file, and then you had your shipping file.
Yep, and then FedEx it to them.
And you were dealing with shipping or with STIPS?
Shipping,
all shipping,
all shipping in the beginning, advancing the wires, and then shipping.
So, how did you segue into secondary markets then?
Took over within. The first couple months, Veronica Cassidy offered me a raise to not leave because she thought I was overqualified and there would be better positions in the company.
Were you planning on leaving?
No. So I just took the $10,000 raise.
You're like, I wasn't even leaving, like, but I'll take
leaving, but I'll take the raise. And then they let the head of my department go, and I took over that.
And this was U.S. Mortgage?
U.S. Mortgage.
Okay.
I took over that, ran that for a couple years. And then, about 2 years. And then I started doing that because I had that down all streamlined and consolidated because it was, way too many people doing nonsense. And then started working under Rich as well at the same time. And
Rich learning, and 40.
Yeah, and learning secondary and capital markets under him.
Now, was Rich crazier back then than he is now?
Yes.
In what way? Because he's like a comedian now.
Yeah, he was still that comedian.
I heard he used to yell a lot. A
little more intense.
He was a lot more intense. Yeah.
I feel like he's pretty lax now.
Yeah,
like,
now if people think he's like intense now, that's nowhere near where he was 15 years ago. Yeah.
Got it.
He was a lot more intense.
So I guess we all have.
And it was a different business back then too.
Right.
Agreed. Yeah.
What was your 6 months in? What's your impersonation of the mortgage industry? Like, what are you intaking from seeing around you? Like, what was your first interaction?
It was kind of like boiler room.
Boiler room. Yeah. You guys had a sales pit?
In one of the offices. Yeah, but just kind of like that. Of like all just like everybody driving Mercedes.
Wild West.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just like. Money everywhere.
Yeah, people are just printing money.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Being green into the industry, what did you think about the loan programs back then? Did you pick up on what was actually going down?
Not at first. Until later on did you realize, like, how did these people even get in a mortgage, right?
Right.
You don't realize till later. Like, when you're in it, you're like, yeah, this is great. And then...
Did you actually look at the paper that you were shipping? Were you like looking at these loan applications and seeing these qualifying terms? I mean, everything was stated back then.
Everything was stated.
And if it wasn't stated, they like made it go stated.
Stated because
right?
It was easier.
Because it was easier, it was right? Easier.
So like, why would you want to sell a loan to Fannie Mae back then?
Right. Or like the Countrywide Fast and Easy, right? Or like I remember first in my early days, like those programs where you would just put people in it because there was no reason not to. Right. So whether or not they qualified under a full doc program, like why would you use it? Sometimes the rates were even better.
Yeah, and the margins were so high anyway.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Why collect the extra documentation?
Yeah.
It's just more for the underwriter to find.
Exactly.
How many stated loans were originated that could have gotten full doc?
A lot.
I mean, I remember when Countrywide really released that program. That would it just lit the industry on fire. Like,
right, you would run, was that like Clues? What was their
something like that?
Something like that.
I think
right?
You're right.
Like, they had that AUS, mm-hmm. like kind of like their own version of DU. That would give you that. Oh, this is a fast and easy, right?
Yeah.
And it really just mattered what you put in there. So if you put in there that they like made a certain amount of money, they were like, oh, this can go fast and easy. But it didn't.
There's no verification.
There's no verification of it, right?
Yeah.
And you can manipulate it to get to that point.
I got a question.
Yes.
What was your first interaction with a wholesale mortgage AE? Who was it? What bank? And
you want to know who I think one of the first ones was? Jeff Terabassi when he was at Argent.
Really?
That's the first one that I remember.
Okay.
Because they were doing, I don't know if he was doing them or there was another rep. I'm trying to remember his name. Might have been Terabassi. And someone else came in and they were doing those teaser rate ones. Remember those where like the first year or two, it's only like 1.99%.
Tighten that one up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Who was my Argent rep? I want to say my Argent rep was Josh Markell back then, which I actually talked to Josh a couple weeks ago. So I was going.
I want to say, well, it's definitely Terabassi at Argent.
Do you guys remember what AEs used to look like back then? Like it was like Ken and Barbie dolls. Not Terabassi.
No, not him.
I mean, Terabassi is a good looking guy, but you know. Listen, Jeff, if you're listening, I think you're great looking. Okay. And you were a lot better looking back then, but there were more attractive AEs.
Yeah. At all those Was it AmeriQuest?
I think AmeriQuest had the best
Decision
looking.
Decision D1.
Do you remember D1's merge your credit score where you got to average the credit scores between all the borrowers?
Oh, yeah.
Was a good product. Well, option, a horrible product.
Option one. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. But
all right. So everybody has their mortgage origin story, but there's this thing in the mortgage industry, mortgage moms, mortgage dads, kind of that person that mentored you, took you under their wing and introduced you to the business. So who would you say that person is?
I'm like, I don't have that. But then when I thought about it, Veronica Cassidy was my mortgage mom. I learned a lot under her, more of the closing, post-closing, servicing side of things. And then Rich.
So Rich is
Rich taught me everything in secondary.
So Erica, would you call Rich John's mortgage daddy?
Mortgage daddy.
Yes, he is.
Mortgage daddy.
So is Rich your children's grandfather then?
Yes.
So in theory, they call him granddaddy?
Yes. Yeah, 15, I've been working with him, what is it, 15, 16 years now, something like that.
So you've only worked for two mortgage companies, really.
U.S. Mortgage, that closed when the Fed shut it down in 2009.
Define shut it down, like forcefully?
Kind of sent a letter
and you guys were done.
They came storming through.
Yeah, kicking doors.
Hands off the desks.
And you were 28?
I was, 28.
So 6 years at U.S. Mortgage. Okay, let's talk about that day. You came to work?
I didn't.
You did not?
No,
come to work.
Rich called me.
Don't show up. Oh, that's right. Rich went into the parking lot and saw it getting raided.
And saw all the FBI agents coming out, going in.
All right, so let's back up for a second.
Did they have cell phones back then?
Yes.
Well, it was 2008.
He had a car phone.
No, yeah. He called me. I remember my BlackBerry ringing and it was Rich. I'm like, why is he calling me? It's like 8 something. And he's like, are you on your way in? I'm like, I'm leaving now. He's like, yeah, don't come in. Meet me at the diner. Building's getting raided. All three offices are getting raided.
What was the day before that like? Business as usual?
Yep.
Everything double selling down. A couple of loans.
That's it.
Is that what was happening? Somebody
it was the loans? Owner of the company was taking loans that we didn't own, but we were servicing. And then that credit unions owned them, but we serviced them and then sold them, took the principal, sold them to Fannie Mae. So...
And then he was making the payments on
them. He would take the principal, $200,000 loan, would just sell it to Fannie Mae at par, get $200,000 in, and then make payments to Fannie Mae and then to the credit union. But about $144 million worth.
And he went to, what, Argentina or something?
No, he went away for 7 years or 5 years.
Wasn't there something in South America? He had South American properties?
No.
Or was that something else?
So he did 7 years.
He did 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah. He was supposed to do 12, but then he testified against the New Orleans mayor. It's a long story. We can get into that another time.
But Katrina guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Testified against him.
He got jammed up into that.
Yep, because he bought a restoration company and offered that mayor a $50,000 bribe to get jobs for his restoration company, and then ended up testifying against him. And then it's when the feds knocked 7 years off.
So you're 28 years old.
Yep.
And you got interviewed by the FBI.
So I didn't go into the office. So 2 or 3 days later,
your phone was tapped. So they knew you were at the diner.
2 to 3 days later at 6 something in the morning, FBI, postal inspector, and the SEC or IRS, one of those guys. Three guys in trench coats knocked on my door. Well, rang the doorbell at like 6 in the morning.
At your house?
At my house. Came in and talked to me for like 2 hours.
What was that like?
Were you living on your own at the time?
No, I had a...
You had a newborn then, right?
I had a 5-month-old baby and my wife, and she's freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, what would Jen do if the Fed showed up right now? Yeah. Would she let him in?
Yeah. Yo, but I was guilty already. You know, she's like... Jen's never even gotten a speeding ticket, any ticket actually. She never got a parking ticket in her life. She's like deathly afraid of in law enforcement. She follows every law, every rule.
See, I think Melissa's the complete opposite. Melissa wouldn't let him in the house. She would probably tell them to go pound sand and be like, "Where's your warrant? You're not coming in my house."
No,
Jen. She knows her rights.
Jen's opposite. Jen, the minute they pull in the driveway, Jen thinks like the worst immediately, and she's just like, the best thing I could do is comply. You know, she'd cry, and probably, and like, you know,
how would you be? I'm 50 on door. You. I think she would just not answer. Like, I'm not even home.
That sounds about right.
If I don't open, they can't talk to me.
Right.
The lights are shut. It's fine.
Yeah. Just hide.
It's like a dog. You know, if you don't see me, I don't see you.
Grab Louie and hide in the closet. Yeah. That's it. So 28 years old, getting interviewed by the FBI. Did you sing like a bird?
I told him everything I knew. Yeah.
Which was a lot or a little?
I figured it out later. Well, I figured it out mainly in between those couple days. Once people knew what was happening, then I figured it out. And
this is like kind of like right as the mortgage collapse is going on.
Right in the middle of it.
So like, is this during the Bernanke meetings? Like what part in 08? Because that
this was
like,
January of 08. January of 09.
Oh, happened. Okay. So this was after the collapse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was still double selling loans after the collapse.
Yeah.
This is even after like Financial Resources. Remember Financial Resources? What was his name? It was like the guy who bought the Jets ticket.
Yes. What was that guy's name? Yeah.
He was right here in Jersey.
Yes, he was.
Right? He was down in by like Marlboro area.
Yep.
Right?
I know who you're talking about.
He was doing the same thing.
Yes.
But he got bagged because he went to buy Jets season tickets and he wanted the most expensive seats they had. And he decided that he was going to have them at any cost, but he couldn't wait for this whole bidding process. So he just stood up and said, you know, $400,000. And he beat out a bunch of attorneys and doctors that were like a group that bought these tickets every year. And they apparently, it was like in the newspaper and everything.
Raised a red flag. Who's this guy?
And then they just started looking into it. I mean, I heard when they auctioned off all his like his house and everything, he had like a $500,000 dining room table. Like,
oh, yeah. I believe
it was insane.
Yeah.
So you get shut down.
Yep.
Feds raid the place.
Yeah, they closed it then. And then a bankruptcy team came in. And I think I ended up staying about a month. Then I was asked to let go, to leave. And in that month, we were all new. We were losing our jobs. But
it's like a liquidation of a retail store.
Yeah, you just, how long do they need you to help wind everything down?
Yeah.
So there was a few people there that were about 6 months. But I was there like a month. And then that's when me and Rich teamed up with Mark Purrington.
Yeah, so how does that bridge, how does US Bank bridge over to Absolute?
So we were looking for a place to go, right?
Right.
And we had talked with the Cardies. They wanted us to come to Mortgage Unlimited.
Mortgage Unlimited wasn't even open then.
No, they were going to start it.
Oh, so that's actually really funny. So back then, the Cardies and the Tags were my employees at United Capital
right? Yes.
So our origin stories are strangely aligned, right? Because they were working for me and we knew they wanted to open their own company. So that's why we gave them a branch in United Capital, is because we were kind of helping them get started.
Right.
So at the same time, while they have a branch of me, they're trying to get in touch with you to go to the
start
new
up.
Company.
Yeah, to start up, to help start up their new venture. And then we decided to go to Absolute. Rich knew Marco. And
you knew Marco through the kids, right?
And we started up and got them going with FHA approvals, increased their warehouse lines, get delegation underwriting, because it was a banker, but they were running it like a broker.
So Absolute didn't even have, they had the licenses, but they didn't even have the underwriters.
Nothing.
And this is 09. So this is the year.
March of 09.
Okay, 12 months before we got involved with Absolute.
Yep.
The United Capital crew.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, okay. March of 09.
So now that's funny. All these years we've been business partners, I'm finally connecting the dots on actually what was going on here.
Yep.
So, and Purrington was big in wholesale at
Very
the time.
Big in wholesale.
Right. So
BNC.
BNC.
He was my first rep. He was like one of my first reps.
Wait, really? You know Purrington?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at BNC.
A long time ago.
See, this is why we do origin stories. We're going to see how all of us are intertwined and tied together.
We all worked within 40 miles of each other.
Yeah, you're going to find out.
Right.
Yeah.
My first job was actually across the street from here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the Fairfield Commons over there.
This is your second stint in Fairfield.
In Fairfield.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Full circle. So Purrington somehow convinces you and Rich to join Absolute.
Yep.
Okay.
Start it up, start there, do a wholesale division.
And was that guy Pete still here?
Peter Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. It was Peter... Hassan, Nick, they only had, and Steve Prince. They had like four or five LOs.
Yeah, four or five
LOs. And Marco. Yep.
And you guys decided to get together.
Yep.
And you're going to turn it into a real bank.
Yes.
And that's when we got Lisa and Jessica.
I got Lisa here. And Jessica Stacey. Came a couple years later. Yeah, but Stacy and Lisa got underwriters, got delegation with, the banks, and went on from there until we met up. Until Purrington said there's these two guys down in Philly.
They got this young
They're brothers.
And who was that, you and George?
No, it was George and Chris.
And Chris.
And then, that's George's brother.
Right. Yeah, because what was going on the United Capital side is we were mega brokers. We were doing 40, 50 million a month in volume as brokers. We were like Redmond's top broker in the nation. We made Sandra Rodriguez, we were top of account, shot her to the top of the list. And we were brokering everything. And we started looking at mergers and acquisitions because we're like, hey, if we're going to survive, we can't do it as a net branch model. So we started reaching out to different people. We were thinking about going with Globe Mortgage out of New York. They were bankers and they were having volume issues. And then we started
We're supposed to be talking about John right now.
This ties together because I was going to tie.
Thank you, though.
Yeah. I like that. Push right back on course.
Yeah, that's why Eric is here. She has to put us back on course. So we started meeting with Purrington, and I remember the first time I met John was, I think, a couple months before in New York.
Yeah, at the secondary conference.
Yeah, New York secondary conference, and Rich was with him. And I remember whispering into George's ear, who are these old guys? Because I saw Rich. And I thought John was Rich's like assistant.
Yeah.
Not
that old.
And then the first time, I remember the day I bought my Audi was the first day I sat down. We went to lunch together, right? We were at that Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
Yeah. And we put this whole deal together.
Yep.
And we became, and they had wholesale, but we had retail.
Yep. And we had the banking platform. We had warehouse bank approvals. We had all of that good stuff.
Right. We had more states than you guys, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you had all the loan officers.
Right, that was the big thing. Do we be United Capital or do we be Absolute? Yeah. Absolute won that one.
Yeah.
Right.
Just for the banking.
It came down to licensing and the HUD approval, really.
The HUD approval was big.
So now we roll into Absolute. Now we're 2010, 2011 area, and you're just rolling through secondary.
Yes.
And you used to do payroll, too.
Yeah. For Absolute. That's right.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because no one else knew how to do it. And I'm like, well, someone's got to do it.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. Yeah.
Now, do you remember the first days at Absolute when you started working with me and we first linked up the two offices via the server? And that's when we linked payroll. Do you remember that? When I first gave you File Center.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And then we created the funding report.
Yeah. And then the funding report got created.
File center.
What is this
this noise?
So what do you think about, I mean, have you just been coasting for the past 7 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. So we had this great origin story.
Yeah,
we get shut down by the FBI.
Yeah,
you get a job at Absolute.
Yeah, and it stopped being exciting then. No more feds. It's just like kind of doing mortgages, which has been boring.
Closing big volume. So I think that you've really stepped up in the past like 12 to 18 months. Like, we've got a new John. Before that, Erica, how quiet was John?
Oh, he didn't say a word. Nobody thought he spoke.
Yeah.
And now he's got this radio voice.
Now he doesn't shut up.
Now we can't shut up.
And I won't shut up. Don't try. I won't.
Half the branches would be like, who's John Cuskin?
Right. Back then, I didn't talk to him.
Who the hell is John Cuskin?
I only talked to a couple people. I'd analyze from afar. And
now he's in volleyball games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually a really good volleyball player. I was surprised.
Just wait
till
this August.
We're going to have a little company picnic?
Well, the Florida Real Estate Conference is our Florida sales summit for our Florida guys. And we get very competitive down there. And we have a West Palm versus Tampa volleyball game every year. West Palm has won every game 3 years in a row. John selected the Tampa side.
Don't worry.
Didn't work out that well for
him.
I'll play on Tampa side.
There we go, Joey.
Oh.
Lights out.
West Palm's undefeated, though.
Yeah.
I'm more of a back row kind of guy.
That's
got a good
perfect.
Set.
That's where we need
I got a good set.
Perfect.
And then I just need somebody big at the net.
That's me.
Yeah, John's a net guy.
I'll own that net.
It's a game, John. Yeah. It's just a game. You don't spike on the kids, John.
It reminds me of Meet the Parents.
Yeah,
right? that was going through my
hits
head.
Erica in the face with a volleyball, breaks her nose.
Oh,
horrible.
God, could you imagine?
That would be so bad. She would be, that would be the first time you see Erica beat the shit out of John. Like literally just go after him.
I couldn't put a price on that. I'd be forever indebted.
She wouldn't be able to catch me.
All right. Joe will hold you down.
Challenge accepted.
Are you fast?
Am I fast?
I bet he was fast.
Yeah,
when he was younger.
I used to be fast. I'm not
that fast. I mean, I could move, but not like
You want to know how fast he is? If there's food in the kitchen,
that's when he's fast.
Paul's got donuts this morning.
Oh my god!
Did you eat donuts this morning?
Four?
No. I had two halves.
That's it.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
They were good though. I mean, it took all of my willpower not to go back into that kitchen.
Yeah. Joe's a really bad influence when it comes to food.
Oh, well, he's a grazer. We went through this. Yeah.
He made me eat a donut. Well, half a donut. And then he made me eat half a sandwich today.
Speaking of which, are we getting Ben Rodriguez, Joe's long lost athletic cousin,
yes,
back in for exercise?
I have to respond to him.
Who's okay. Did he reach out?
Ben's company trainer, our personal trainer for the company.
I need a little yoga in my life.
Yeah, so that's why if you
went
notice,
to CrossFit last night.
I went twice this week already.
Good for
I can
you.
Literally not move right now.
I don't know if you noticed, there's yoga mats all around the office. Have you
ever
picked up
on
that?
Yeah, I didn't know there were
four. Yeah, so it's getting into spring.
Nap time.
Yeah, it's nap time.
nap time.
So you noticed the candy machine, but not the yoga mats.
I've noticed the yoga mats. I just have never seen them in action.
Erica's got to get you a yoga mat.
I need a yoga
mat. We have to get all our new employees yoga mats.
No, yeah. I have my own.
Oh, you have your own yoga mat?
Yeah.
It's probably
he's too good. He's too good for our yoga mats.
I'm a little snobby when it comes to my yoga mat.
Oh, you have your own?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at me on this.
How'd you look?
I look pretty good.
When we're doing yoga, should we turn up the heat in the office and do hot yoga?
Hot yoga?
No, because no one wants to see me sweating.
No, only if we had a shower.
I don't
facility.
Sweat.
You don't? Oh, I do.
I have that's the hardest thing for me. Like when I work out, I don't sweat, so I have to wear like the rubber suits and I legit have to push myself to sweat.
Really?
Yeah. Since I was a kid, I don't know why. I just don't.
It's pretty. John, I went running last night. I came home. My daughter thought I jumped in the shower. She's like, "What's wrong with you?" Like, nothing.
Just went for a jog.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just went for a jog.
All right, so I guess who's our next origin story that we're going to do?
I think we should do Matt or Erica.
I think Erica should go first. Yeah, Erica.
Erica?
She's so quiet that I want a whole episode of hearing her talk.
Agreed.
Yeah. She needs
what to. If I don't say anything during the episode? Am I going to be putting the intro video?
We're tossing it. Well, John has to write your bio.
Well, maybe if you talked a little bit.
Yeah, we need a sound clip. We have any sound clip.
Yeah, we do need something to put into the intro.
I would like to hear this.
Do we
want to
have
story.
That vote right now? Is Erica going to go into the intro? Because we didn't put her in the intro because John didn't write the bio.
Well, I got stuff going on.
You worked just said you night. Spent the past 7 years coasting.
No, I'm not coasting.
Literally on cruise controls.
I was doing a lot of origination business. Too,
oh,
back
that's
then.
What we forgot. Let's close out with that. Yeah. Your first loan closing. Who was it?
That
what type of loan? What year? Then we'll close on that.
My wife's cousin back in, I want to say, 04, 05.
So family member?
Yeah, it was a family. Relative.
3 years in. Did you have a New Jersey solicitor license?
I signed some paper. I think that's all.
Yeah, that's all it was.
You just have to be sponsored by somebody. Yeah. There was no
NMLS. You going to do any business? I'm like, maybe. So she's like, all right, sign here. That was it.
Yeah. It was literally a website.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was that easy now.
When I got my New York license was the first time I ever heard of the NMLS because they were one of the early adopters. And I had to get an NMLS ID. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like no other state cared. Right.
Right,
you just signed the paper and
that was it.
Yeah.
New York, good to go.
New York had this whole process. I was like, this is mind blowing, but I appreciate it.
Do you still have your New York license?
I didn't have a company sponsor it, so it went dormant, and I didn't want to keep paying for the bond for no reason because I didn't, the bond's like,
wait till
bucks.
Joe's origin story to hear about his New York license, okay?
Okay.
My origin story is not that exciting.
I just wanted to ask a couple questions. Everybody
I like John's origin
today.
Story.
I do too.
Yeah.
It had a little mix of, young little boy from Ohio comes into the New Jersey, and then the FBI shows up at his house.
He probably has the most entertaining origin
story.
Yeah, I'm
sure all three of yours are going to be very
boring.
There's
so many people from this area that have a very similar origin story, right? Because how many of the companies around here actually had issues?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
A lot of
them,
right? Yeah.
Like, I know a good amount of them that either had issues, got shut down. One day they came to work, nobody was there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah. No, definitely.
It was a crazy time back then.
Yeah. I was 08, 09. I started right on the tail end of kind of everything, right? Okay. So I don't remember all of that. But not that I don't remember. I just wasn't here involved. But
sure.
My story will be fun.
We good.
Erica still was at recess during those times.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically.
She still had snack and nap time. Yeah.
All right, so I guess we'll see us next episode for Erica Adams' origin story. So here's Rants and Rates signing off for another episode.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.